Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Sketchers assemble!
Chase Thomas Podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, you heard it, sports reporters. We have indeed assembled late on this Friday evening. Andrew Hammond up there of the Detroit Free Press is here. Andrew, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a long week.
You can say that again.
For a variety of reasons, it has been a very long week. I hope you guys are doing well.
I'm trying to get by. I tomorrow is going to be amazing. Like, I cannot wait for the sleep I'm going to have tonight. Like, I've been thinking about that all day today. Is just the kind of amazing sleep I'm going to have of just having so much off my plate after today. So we're very, very close. We're very, very close. It turns out grad school, a lot of work involved. Also here, Bob Silverman up there in New York City of the Daily Beast. Bob, good evening, sir. How are you?
Evening. Although for all you listeners, it's probably, I don't know, morning, afternoon on a Saturday. So, you know, we're doing a little night talk.
Night talk. Chase Thomas Podcast After Dark. It's where we dive into
it
Notre Dame.
It gets a little blue, so be warned.
But hey, if you would like to get away from the gloomy nature, just go to our Instagrams or our Twitter page, actually, because Bob and I shared our cute pups. And their lack of motivation today. They know how to do a Friday, which is just lie down and do nothing.
I took a very, very attractive photo of Max the dog today, if I have to say so myself. We got him just groomed earlier in the week.
Which, very good.
By the way, just to be clear, I spend way more on my dog's haircuts than I do on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it costs a lot more to make him look tight.
But you love it, don't you?
No, I want to pay less than that.
Okay.
I'm looking up dog grooming videos on YouTube.
Don't groom yourself. Please don't start grooming the dog yourself, Bob.
You know how much they charge? Granted, I'm in a kind of swanky neighborhood.
I was going to say the New York price versus the Knoxville price might be a little bit different.
We go to, like, there's a PetSmart near us, which...
Are there PetSmarts in New York City?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that. Okay.
There's a PetSmart near us, but we were told by our... There are a lot of dogs in this neighborhood, so, you know, you walk in the dog and you see someone else with a dog, you talk about dogs.
Right.
And they have all... them and the aforementioned, we've discussed this before, the very disturbingly attractive men in the dog park.
Your favorite.
My favorite. In any case, they all said don't go to the PetSmart because they don't treat the dogs well, even though they're significantly less expensive. So we don't. So we go to our local dog grooming boutique nearby.
Okay.
But I'll let you guys take a guess. Go ahead. And listeners, you can play along at home right now. Why don't you guess how much it costs me to groom a 2.5-year-old 24-pound cockapoo.
I'm going to say...
We do it once every 2 months. We should probably do it more often, but we do it once every 2 months or so.
I'm going to say $85.
That's an interesting guess. Andrew Hammond.
What was Chase's guess?
$85.
This is what the Price is Right for damn dogs. So Chase said 85.
Don't you dare say 86.
No, I'm not going to be a dick and say 86. I'm going to go 90.
Okay.
Is that your final offers, gentlemen?
That is. Anything over 100 is preposterous.
It's $160.
Oh!
See, here's the thing. I was going to go 120 because I feel like there's like maybe a... I'm not going to say, how do I put it, like a pet fee in terms of just like... Basically, you're paying like 20, 30 bucks for the dog to freaking be there.
No.
And then everything else on top of it.
It's not about crating the dog for X amount of hours. It really is just, it's an extensive process. It takes about 3 hours. It's 160 before taxes. And then you're supposed to tip.
Wait, you're tipping?
Tip your barber. Tip the rough barber.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you do. So usually the damage for me, it's about 190.
Oh, 190. Yeah. And you're doing this how often?
Once every 2 months.
Okay, that's not bad.
Doing it more often.
That's not bad.
I mean, that's a lot for a rather much.
Do you do some?
Don't do the math on that, Bob.
Some temporary maintenance at home, like in between.
We got a lecture from the dog groomer the last time we went. We weren't brushing. We didn't. It wasn't a lecture. We just got slightly looked down upon by our snooty dog groomers.
Mm-hmm.
Who do an outstanding job. Don't get me wrong.
They were just like, yeah, pod, get your shit together, Bob.
They were like, you should be brushed. You should. It was a wonderful use of the passive voice. You should be brushing him more often.
Mm.
And it wouldn't take as long as it does to groom the dog.
Very passive aggressive.
Of course, Max doesn't really like having his hair brushed.
No dog does, Bob.
Yeah. He does the fake biting thing, which he evidently did to the groomers also this most recent trip. And so here's what happened. So we got a lecture last time about not brushing at us. So we tried to brush him more, even though he tries to bite us. We brought him back, and it cost less to do it this time because the damage was less extensive.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get lectured about brushing him, but they did complain about the dog biting them, so I felt compelled to tip more.
Oh, no.
To make up for the biting.
What if they were just saying that because they knew you would up the tip?
I feel as though that was not what happened. I don't think they were working me.
Okay.
This wasn't a game of three-card Monty.
You never know. It's hard out there these days. You never know.
It is. But like I said, there are a lot of dogs in this neighborhood, and there are a lot of well-to-do folk, and I don't think they're... Like, it, you have to wait for an open slot.
Mm.
You can't, there's no walk-in business. my dog needs a reservation. He needs a res to pay so that I can pay $190 and he can try to bite the groomer.
That's amazing.
There's a very exciting YouTube video, or not very exciting, but it's a wild one. It's about an hour or so long, and someone finds a stray dog that clearly nobody has taken care of for who knows how long, and its hair has grown out so long that it looks like a four-legged Wookiee. And by the time they're done grooming this animal, it's you had no idea what was hiding underneath it.
I love that.
Yeah.
I will say, and then we'll move into our sports topics.
Sports.
I was at the...
Dogs.
People love dogs. They have a universal approval rating.
Yeah.
I was at the barber, and I don't know if y'all have ever been in this situation, but a couple weeks ago, I tried out a new one in Knoxville, and I got to the end, and it was one of those card reader things where you just go in. The lowest tip option was 25%. And I was like, huh.
So you're being cheap?
No, I'm just like, that is like, who's gonna call it? Because you're kind of in a position where you're like, I'm not gonna say anything about this, but like 25% being the lowest option, like there was no custom amount that you could do. It was like 25, 30, 35, 40. That was it. Those are the four choices you had.
Wow.
Is that not wild?
Yeah.
What if they did a bad job?
Fancy boy barbershop?
Say it again?
Is this a barbershop for fancy lads?
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, it stunned me. So I was just taken aback from the whole thing. And I was like, I've never seen that before.
There was no option for you to input your own tip amount.
No option. And they're just staring bullets at you the whole time. And I wasn't going to be confrontational and ask them about it. But it was just one of those things where I thought about it after. I'm like, I've never seen that before. What am I supposed to do? That is a bold choice. Because, like, who's going to be the person to be like, don't you think it's a little high? Or don't you think this is kind of weird that I can't do a custom amount? What? I don't know. It was very strange. So I'm probably not going to go back to that one. Because they did an okay job. But it was just weird. It's a really weird situation. Didn't like it. Didn't like the precedent it set.
Interesting.
Which naturally brings us to the highlight of the hour. Bob, stay with us. The college football conversation will not be long. We'll get this out of the way. I've been sitting in this for
guys,
a little bit.
Like I said, my only contribution to this is him putting on the Hillary Clinton Southern accent was hilariously funny.
Well, that's the old right. coach, and it was amazing. I sent it to my family. Yeah. We were all dying. Like, it was, it's top-notch content. Top-notch.
Okay, you guys have at it. I'm done. I'm tapped out.
Okay.
That's it.
Bob will be back in a second. Bob, you promise this will be funny, because Andrew's going to yell at me, I'm going to guess. So, Andrew's very excited. Marcus Freeman is the new head coach at Notre Dame. There was questions whether or not he'd be the interim and just coach potentially if they're in the playoff, if they find themselves in the playoff. Former players, current players, advocated for Marcus Freeman. Well-liked, former Buckeye, five-star Buckeye, was great at Cincinnati, has only been at Notre Dame for 1 year. All that's great. Andrew, I've looked online and I've looked at the people and the way that they've responded to this, and there's a lot of momentum, and he had this like hilarious, awesome family Full House spoof that he did with his family. Like, he seems like a really likable, good dude. All that being said, the certainty that Notre Dame fans and just like the certainty that they have, and the push, the unanimous push for Marcus Freeman to become the head coach of Notre Dame, when this is like what makes this a unique situation. Luke Fickell, who is undefeated right now at Cincinnati, has rebuilt that entire program where Marcus Freeman came from. You saw the success that Brian Kelly just had. He's arguably like just the most successful Notre Dame coach of all time. You have all that. So the like, you're already replacing a legend. Like, Kelly's a dork and all that kind of stuff, but like, that is already a
huge way of calling him an asshole, but you know,
right, whatever, like whatever. Whatever you think of him, the dude won a bunch of games and overachieves at Notre Dame. Like, I will bang that drum that he overachieved and getting them into the playoff as much as he did is amazing. Beating Clemson, amazing. So with all the academic requirements and everything else, Brian Kelly, awesome. Like, you're like, I just wonder, because there's so much excitement. I'm like, well, he's probably gonna be worse than Brian Kelly. Like, there, it seems very unlikely that he's better than Brian Kelly, because Brian Kelly, well, it's hard to follow a legend like that and follow his success and match his success. There's a lot of pressure there, similar to what Jimmy Lake had to follow at Washington.
Okay. See, I'll stop you.
Well, hold
there.
On. I'm almost done. I promise I'm almost done. And then I'm gonna leave the floor to you.
I just. Okay. Because the Jimmy Lake Pete situation, completely different, and I'll explain why. So, yeah.
All that could be true. It's just, I mean, there's the Will Muschamp, where he was the associate head coach at Texas, and he was the defensive mind, and people loved him, and they were like, he's a rising star in this industry. Everyone celebrated the Florida hire, and it was like everybody wanted him. Marcus Freeman, he's going to get his opportunity for all kinds of different jobs. He could be awesome right away. Who knows? Like, when Lincoln Riley got elevated, when Dabo Swinney got elevated, like when Jimbo got elevated, it's very possible that can be the case. However, if you have Luke Fickell and you have Matt Campbell, also very much in the running here, two guys like Matt Campbell, what he has done at Iowa State is preposterous. Five straight winning seasons that happened five times total in 26 years. Luke Fickell, very much likely going to the college football playoff. Catholic guy, strong background. You know that the odds of him flailing out at Notre Dame next to none. Matt Campbell with a bigger talent base over, and you know what kind of coach he is. He is a top five coach in this industry. If both coaches were...
That's another thing I'll disagree with.
I mean, winning at Iowa State the way he has, I just don't think there's... You can count them on one hand who can do that.
He's plateaued.
I don't think he's plateaued. I really don't think it's that at all. He gave Oklahoma State their only loss this season. Oklahoma State might be in the playoff this year. All I'm saying is I'm not saying Marcus Freeman's not going to be good. I am saying if you are a Notre Dame fan and you're not concerned that you kind of had to make this decision because you were wondering about the recruiting class and thinking short term and like he's likable and all that kind of stuff. When you have these two sitting head coaches who were like have shown obviously a bunch that they are elite head coaches that would keep Notre Dame humming at this level. Freeman's a wild card. Like he just is. And I think it just troubles me that there's this so much certainty because it's like it's a boom or bust thing where it's either going to be awesome and he's going to just keep it going and Tommy Rees is going to be better than what we've seen from Tommy Rees at this point at OC and Marcus Freeman is just going to keep recruiting at this high level. But there's also a huge bust potential here. And I just don't think I think he is a high ceiling guy, but the floor is lower than Fickell and Campbell, who I don't think there's any possibility that they would struggle at Notre Dame. Does that make sense? Is that fair? Are you mad, Andrew?
No. I'm not mad at all. I mean, I think there are some things, there are some points that are not great. And I think there are some things that, you know, because having like covered Iowa State, like what Matt Campbell did at Iowa State, absolutely spectacular. But having covered some of the recruiting battles, hi Breece Hall, that Matt Campbell had with other Big 12 schools, I'm not saying Matt Campbell's success is, you know, people want to say, oh yeah, this dude's a fraud. Matt Campbell isn't a fraud. I will come out and say that right now. Matt Campbell isn't a fraud. Matt Campbell's one hell of a coach. But you want to know why Matt Campbell was so successful, especially in recruiting in the Big 12? Because the programs that should have been challenging him weren't challenging him. A lot of the guys on the Iowa State roster were looked at by a bunch of different schools. And you know what? Matt Campbell basically kind of became I'm not saying that he became their only choice, but they went after the kids just harder than kids in the Kansas City region, St. Louis region, Wichita region. Like basically that entire lower Midwest, they've been killing it in recruiting. But at the same time, schools that should be competing with them in that, they weren't putting the resources in there. So part of Matt Campbell's success, and Iowa State fans I like Iowa State fans, but the thing about Iowa State fans is that, and they're kind of like K-State fans, is that they don't want to accept the ugly truth. And some of the ugly truths about Iowa State's success is it's been at the, I don't know, lack of a better term, behest of programs in transition or programs not even putting out the effort. And so Iowa State is a byproduct of that, which, once again, it doesn't excuse their success. They've been a successful program. The question that I have is, when Matt Campbell goes to the next level, when Matt Campbell goes to, if you were to go to a Penn State, if you were to go to a Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, you want to know what's going to happen? Those schools that he's going to have to recruit against, he's stepping up in weight class. Not saying that that's a bad thing, but it's easy to get down and dirty and go into other conference rivals' territory and basically pilfer their kids when those schools are looking the other way. Hi, K-State. Hi, KU. Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, those schools, if you are looking at a kid, if Ohio State is looking at a kid, I learned this covering recruiting. If Ohio State is looking at a kid, you better believe every school in the top 25 more than likely is also looking at that kid. Matt Campbell, if you're trying to save a recruiting class, which that's one of the elements that Marcus Freeman was good at.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that Marcus, like, people want to talk about, you know, Marcus Freeman's recruiting ability, the things that made Cincinnati successful, the things that made Ohio State successful when he was an assistant there. He was a grad assistant. Like, you look at Notre Dame's recruiting, Notre Dame potentially will have a top five class in 2022 and 2023. You want to know who's responsible for that? It ain't the dude with the fake Southern accent in Baton Rouge right now.
I mean, he was still recruiting at a pretty elite level his whole time in South Bend.
Here's but Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Top 10, top 15 recruiting class.
Elko was helping him get there. Like, he had guys who were helping.
Like those are great.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to get into the top five, which top five recruiting for
it's
the last
early, man.
7 to
a
10,
lot of stuff has not happened yet. I don't know. It's still early.
I'm just saying
mm-hmm.
that if you want to maintain that,
right?
And the perfect example why school X should probably stick with the guy that literally everybody in the locker room wants, and administrators are like, yeah, I like this guy. Yeah, we should keep him. Want to know why? Look at Oklahoma right now. Oklahoma had a top five recruiting class for 2022. Half those kids are gone, mm-hmm. and they're all waiting on who else is coming.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need that. And when your players are coming up to your administration saying, hire this guy, yeah, that can always be like, hey. But you see a change in the program once he got there. Mm-hmm. You saw a change in the attitude. You saw a change.
Well, I mean, they did just go to two straight playoffs.
No, but what I'm saying with in regards to why Marcus Freeman is the guy, yeah, it's easy to get the hot name. But
right.
you needed another voice in that program, a voice that can relate to players and that can give you a shot at taking that next step. Because here's the thing. Notre Dame, the program, is, I would say, they are in, if Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, I'd say those three schools, in terms of recruiting to pro pipelines, those three are the best. But what mm-hmm. they do, they win championships, they win conference championships. No, Notre Dame isn't in a conference, but Notre Dame's on that second tier. They're with Oklahoma. They're with Michigan. They're with Penn State. There's like 8 to 10 schools on that B level that are trying to break through into that consistent top tier level year in, year out when it comes to recruiting, when it comes to results, when it comes to the pros. Brian Kelly, I get it. You want to get that title. If he had just come out and said, it's about the money or it's about taking that next step for my career, I'd have a little more respect for him.
I don't think you can say that, though, publicly. I think it kind of like slams Notre Dame, unfortunately, and puts he would be saying the quiet part out loud.
It's but to be fair, at that point, you kind of just slammed Notre Dame anyway because you got coaches on the road recruiting.
Right.
And to me, that's the biggest sticking point in terms of why this was made. One, you need to save a recruiting class. And who's the one person
yeah.
that is ready to take this role, who is basically going to be the next big thing,
maybe
in terms of coaches. But here's the thing.
See, this is what I'm saying. It's the certainty. It's like, I don't know, man.
This is why there is certainty. When you talk to coaches, when you talk to administrators, when you talk to people around the sport, there have been multiple bidding wars for Marcus Freeman services for a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
Like one, like LSU fans, which
the same was true with Milton Meschamp, by the way.
But
Lincoln Riley before that, yeah.
But I mean, Riley's been to the playoff twice.
Steve Sarkisian.
Chase, really?
I'm saying this happens. Like there's always going to be hot coordinators that everybody wants, but some flame out.
Because you mentioned Dabo a few minutes ago. You know, Dabo almost got canned, right?
Yeah.
Like Dabo almost got canned a few times, and then he figured out, okay, this is what I need to be successful. Like
Dabo hired well. Like Freeman sticking with Reese is a red flag. Like that's, I don't believe Reese is the guy. Because Notre Dame's problem hasn't been defense, and it hasn't been, I don't even think the recruiting. It's like when they've gotten that, it's been Ian Book.
It's been a quarterback. It's been
Freeman doesn't help there, I don't think.
Hey Chase, do you have to file a
paper? Yes. Okay. I love Bob popping in here. Hey Bob.
I'm getting close. Knock knock. Be your mom all the time.
I love that Bob just came in like my mother, just top it in the night. Hey, are you still, what are you doing here? I know you got to pay. I like that. Yes, yeah. I do. And it's, yes, we're almost there. We're almost there. Bob.
So, look, I'm happy that my contributions to today's episode were limited to dog haircut commentary, but
and Max,
you know,
making an appearance.
Yeah. Max. It's chewing on his toy right now.
No, we can continue. We can continue. But Andrew,
shut it down.
On the parting words on the Notre Dame position, are you mad at me for making this, for being against it?
I'm trying to. Okay, so we look at Luke Fickell. We look at Matt Campbell. Those are Notre Dame has been searching for the guy. It's kind of like Miami. You're searching for the guy to pull the sword out of the stone.
Mm-hmm.
Is Luke Fickell the guy? Absolutely. Here's the thing. There's two jobs Luke Fickell would leave for. Notre Dame and Ohio State. And Luke Fickell, he might not have to wait too long for the latter option.
Maybe.
So I look at Matt Campbell, and I want to see Matt. I'd rather see Matt Campbell's success attempt to be duplicated somewhere else. And I think that's very possible. If Pat Narduzzi were to take a gig, which...
Oh, Narduzzi's another good example of this, by the way, with D'Antonio forever and then his time at Pitt.
I mean, his time at Pitt's been,
until this year. This year he figured it out. Yeah, it wasn't even defense. It was because they had Kenny Pickett, who's the Heisman favorite right now. It changes everything when you have the right quarterback.
Which is kind of funny because Kenny Pickett, like
I saw him in person.
He might be the most meh Heisman winner since Jason White.
Okay.
So
yeah. Well, there you go. We'll see. Everything will have to play out. We'll see how it unfolds. I'm curious.
Take it from a Notre Dame fan.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Freeman is the guy.
We'll see.
You don't want somebody who's basically been the ace recruiter for you and your program to go away, because there's a trust level between the administration and the players, and you don't see that a lot in college football these days. And because the AD will sit there and go, oh, I want to bring in my own guy. I want to bring in my own guy. And then he does it basically at the, you know, who cares what the players think. So I think that there's a combination of that. To me, you look at Tommy Reese, that Notre Dame offense, it at times it hasn't looked great.
It hasn't looked great in, a decade?
But they're in the top 30 in scoring.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just saying. I mean, like, it's...
I mean, it's literally cost you in the playoff. Like, that's the difference. Is like, it's been fine, but it hasn't been
okay,
in the
so,
top 10
okay,
yet.
So Notre Dame... Okay, let's take a look at the playoff opponents.
Mm-hmm.
They've run into generational Clemson team, generational Alabama team, like... I don't know.
But what I'm saying is the defense is there. Like, you saw it against Alabama last year. Like, you played Alabama better than Ohio State even did. Like, all I'm saying is, like, if you don't have Ian Book, or you have a better offensive mind developing them, or you're finding the next Brady Quinn or Jimmy Clausen, something like that.
Okay.
Or you have to get back in that game.
Okay. I'm sorry. You actually think Jimmy Clausen's a good quarterback?
No. What I'm saying is that kind of five-star rating. Like, you have to get back types. You have to keep getting those guys in the building. Like, that's the ultimate decider in Notre Dame flipping their playoff fortunes
But that's the same issue that a bunch of schools are having. Like, yeah. You just can't load up your quarterback room like Ohio State, because you want to know what happens? I saw this in a tweet from somebody. One wrong move, and you're 2015 Texas A&M.
Yeah.
You start the wrong
guy. Oh, that
was
Bomani Jones, I think.
And everybody and their grandma's leaving. So it's easy to get.
Also, Notre Dame is 56th in passing offense this year.
Yeah, everybody knows they're running the football now. Like, duh.
Well, I mean, I could go back last year and it's going to be near the same number when they're in the playoff.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what they're supposed to do in
terms
of...
They were 58th last year.
Once again.
All I'm saying is that's all I care about if I'm a Notre Dame fan, is figuring that out. Figuring out the offense, figuring out someone who can come in and get the most out of the quarterback position
There's like 2 4-star receivers and a 5-star receiver coming in. Like, getting guys. And who's the guy who brought them in? Marcus Freeman.
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it happens. Maybe it happens. We'll see. There was a firing this week in the NBA. Bob, Neil O'Shea goes down. The Portland Trailblazers having
shocker.
He's gone. Bob, what do you make of Neil O'Shea being dismissed this week by the Portland Trailblazers?
I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop. Mm. There's some.
has anybody come out with a report yet?
No, nothing. Nothing. There was a notice that the Blazers were conducting an internal investigation, and apparently that had to have been a month ago, and the apparent first result of that is Neil O'Shea is gone. He has been running that team for, leaving aside whatever sketchy stuff he pulled, which we still aren't entirely clear on. You know, he had a good run, man. he drafted well. He did well to transition from the Brandon Roy team to the team built around Damon Lillard. They went to a conference finals. They drafted and developed CJ McCollum. They couldn't ever figure out how to put enough good players around those guys. But, you know, that's not to boldlerize Aaron Sorkin, but that's life in the NBA, man. Sometimes you don't get there. But after 10 years, I think it's time to bring in someone else, unless your GM is Red Auerbach or Pat Riley or something.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Here's the thing about that whole situation. Kind of reminds me of Notre Dame. But the parallels are there.
I just zoned out throughout that entire conversation. You guys turned into the one of the teachers from Charlie Brown. It was just
and here's why I say that in terms of the Blazers.
Please go on.
The Blazers can do everything in the world to try and get in that top half of the West. But I mean, congratulations. You made what, one Western Conference Finals, and even then it was just kind of like we're happy to be here.
There was some awesome Dame time moments throughout the years. I think while disappointed as Blazers fans may be, that's a long stretch of a successful team that won a lot of games. Anyone, Blazers fans are complaining about the job. Again, giant asterisk, because we don't know what kind of incredibly scummy things he may have done all the while. But I don't think there's a – I really don't think there's a lot to complain about if you're a Portland Trail Blazers fan as far as the product on the court.
Well, I don't know if Chase is here.
Chase is doing his homework. We're driving this bus.
I was just gonna say, we may have to go back to the college football discussion, because remember what I talked about in terms of QB rooms being entirely too full.
No, I wasn't listening to you guys at all. I have no idea what that's a reference to.
Well, Bob, just know that the top-ranked quarterback for the 2021 class, Quentin Ewers, has informed Ohio State he is entering the transfer portal. So, yeah, don't fill up your quarterback room too much, guys.
What does that have to do with the Portland Trail Blazers?
It was breaking news, Bob. It was breaking news. But back to the Blazers. I'm interested in seeing what the fallout is for this team, because, look, I get it.
Oh, we're getting a look now. We're getting a look. That's how you know it's serious. Look.
I mean, the ceiling for Portland has always been top four in the West. I think they maybe got there twice, maybe three times in his run. Somebody will correct me on that.
I think they only got to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, they only got there once. They only got there once. But for some reason, I kept thinking they were maybe a three or a four seed some of those early years in the Oshae run.
Yeah, they were.
But... It's I'm not saying that it's difficult or it's hard, but you're basically on the B level in terms of how do I break into that top tier? Like, I don't know what more you could do if you were Portland. I'm sure that you can, get more talent in there, but I mean, if it's going to end in running into a Warriors team or a Lakers team,
the Blazers. The Blazers have always been, they managed to get a top tier point guard. Damian Lillard could be the kind of guy who you could build a championship team around. And what sucks for Blazers fans, and needless to say, the team itself and Dame, is that they weren't able to do it for a variety of different reasons. Lillard was just starting to get good at the tail end of the LaMarcus Aldridge era, when Aldridge suddenly, sort of shuffled off to win a title in San Antonio and then kind of began to crater anyway. But there were every year in the playoffs, a good team would expose the defensive limitations of the McCollum-Lillard backcourt. Yep. And what they needed to do was figure out a way to move CJ for a player of comparable ability, but one who wouldn't get pick and roll to death by the good teams. Right. And they didn't do that. The right deal never presented itself. They got lowballed. You can figure out a ton of reasons why. But
Bob, I got a question. Do you think they should have traded CJ maybe 2-3 years ago?
They tried to build around the fringes by overpaying for Robert Covington. They traded up and cost themselves John Collins in order to get Zach Collins, who ended up being a bust.
Yeah,
John Collins would be a very nice player to have. They managed to snag Yusuf Nurkic on the cheap from the Nuggets when Jokic blossomed, and then Jokic couldn't stay healthy on the floor, and now Jurkic was not a shot blocker,
He was a solid dude.
He's a really good defensive player and rim protector, if not an actual shot blocker, but teams did not shoot well against him, and he was just quick of foot enough to match up with wings and guards on pick and roll stuff. But now he's lost half a step, and he just doesn't move as well as he did 2.5 or whenever it was 3 years ago when they acquired him. So a bunch of little things didn't really work out. They figured they could keep those two guys, and if they made the right additions up front, it would all come together. It just never did.
And it feels like they were trying to. I think a lot of teams have this issue. Boston Celtics. you're trying to extend your contender window, which, you know,
the Boston Celtics are another case altogether. That's just Danny Ainge being unable and unwilling to pull the trigger.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Like, and there are things that got in, or that I'm not saying that got in the way for the Celtics, but there are things that the Celtics basically kind of screwed themselves over on in terms
they
of
they were looked absolutely when they signed Hayward. Originally.
They signed Hayward and Irving and had and everything. Irving.
The Jalens and Marcus Smart and Horford and if, Hayward if and Irving. It, and that was a, like, I remember when they signed Hayward and I thought, oh, wow, that is an incredibly talented team. Look out.
Well, and that's the thing. You look at the lay of the land for the Eastern Conference in 2016.
I think I am fairly sure I said on a podcast probably around 2017, 2018 that I thought the Boston Celtics would be the best team in the East over the next like half decade.
And yeah, because you saw what was being.
They did. Built. Danny Ainge passed on so many.
And I think it's this whole. You're trying to make the right moves, but at the same time, sometimes you just have to take a risk and go all in. Yeah. And what ended up happening is
there was a trade. There's supposedly a trade. The trade that kills me, which is that. When right before Phil Jackson got fired with the Knicks, supposedly or reportedly, they called up Boston and asked for then rookie Jaylen Brown and the third pick in that year's draft, which became Jason Tatum. So like,
well, and that's the thing.
And Ainge passed on that, or the Knicks wouldn't approve it because they were going to fire Phil Jackson.
Well, yeah, oh,
within
yeah,
a matter of weeks. But that would have been a good trade.
That's also one of those things where, you know, I look at Boston and Portland, and you're trying to either extend your contender window. Look, or you're trying to manufacture.
Up until last year, people were genuinely asking, and with good reason, had Milwaukee's window slammed shut already?
Which is funny because they really didn't do anything to.
No, they didn't do anything.
One.
They just
didn't do anything to open one. It was just kind of like you're lumped into it's Boston, situation. It's Cleveland, and then there's Toronto and Milwaukee. And it's like, oh, hey. They might make a conference finals. Good on them. And what have we seen?
The situation presented both of them to Milwaukee, and they just ran with it. And honestly, if Kevin Durant's feet were 2 inches shorter, they don't. Then we're all having a very different conversation.
Facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think about Portland, and I look at them in Boston, and I'm just like, you're trying to manufacture a contender window, or you have one, and you don't pull the trigger. And what happens? You're basically like you're hanging.
Look, the same thing is happening to the Nuggets right now.
Oh, absolutely.
There was a period last year, like before Murray got hurt. There was a period last year where you thought, actually, okay, this team can win a title very soon. Jokic is doing insane Jokic things. Porter looks like he's on the verge of becoming a third star. Jamal Murray was balling out. If I may say, balling out. Can I?
That was one of the funniest early or one of the funny things in the.
I'm back to say Bob can't say
in the early. Oh, you turned it in. Happy.
Congratulations. Yeah, he's a real hooper. Is what I'm gonna say.
Did y'all see the memes of like the Hooper brain versus the eye test?
Unfortunately, yes.
That made me so happy. That was so funny.
And now, like, look at the Nuggets. Porter has a second back injury.
Third.
For third? Is this? Yes. Oh, that's right. He got one. That's right. He missed a year in Missouri. Porter now has a third back injury. Jamal Murray still has not returned. He tore an Achilles, I think, which is just a very bad injury for a player to have. Or did he tear an ACL?
I thought he was an ACL. I could be wrong. I thought he was ACL.
I'm not going to Google it. But
suddenly, it was ACL.
Yeah, it was ACL. Okay, that's better than the Achilles. But suddenly no one is thinking, okay, well, the Nuggets, we can pencil the Nuggets in for at least one trip to the finals. And the Nuggets didn't really do anything wrong.
Right.
Like, nothing about that roster construction or management, you could scream, well, they really screwed that up.
If they're healthy, they're the favorites to win the West this year.
Nah.
Jokic, MPJ, and what we saw last year, healthy Murray, healthy Barton, healthy group, Monty Morris, everybody in there. No, they were definitely there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Phoenix is still better.
I don't know if Phoenix I don't know if Phoenix beats them last year if the Nuggets are fully healthy.
Well, if they're fully healthy, sure, maybe.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But they're not. But I mean,
the Nuggets aren't even a playoff team this year. Like, I don't think that they're going to be able to make
fully
playoffs.
Fully healthy Nuggets are, I would still favor Phoenix in that series.
Okay.
But
I mean, Phoenix right now is just, I don't know when they're going to lose again. Like, Phoenix is on another level.
They're a good team, man. They are good. They're good and they're smart. And if Chris Paul weren't such a jerk, I would have more fun watching them.
Not a Chris Paul guy.
Chase, question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you hear the news that I was talking to Bob that I kind of dropped?
I've forgotten it already. Just to be
we can't we can't do this to Bob anymore.
News on
I was listening. I was on mute and I was listening as I was doing that. But yes.
Yeah. Hey, don't fill your quarterback rooms up too much, especially in a transfer portal era. This isn't NCAA 06 again.
Well, Tennessee doesn't have to worry about that. We're just trying to fill it up enough to have more than two scholarship quarterbacks on.
Honestly, what was it? If y'all can get one of these top quarterbacks on the portal.
Dylan Gabriel, come on down.
Hey, y'all could. I'm not saying that you guys win the East next year, but.
National championship? I know we're passing Notre Dame sooner rather than later. We can you and I can agree to that.
Okay. Just beat Georgia.
Hey, I mean it's not like it rarely happens. That's
actually beat Alabama. That's
well, hold on. We got pods coming, Andrew. And the pods are gonna save Tennessee fans because we're gonna be in the pod with Kentucky and Vanderbilt. Maybe Mizzou
you
too.
Know what?
It's gonna be a beautiful thing.
I want them to make the pods out of random.
They're not
like,
gonna do that.
Like literally every 4 years, World Cup style, for the next 4 years, this is what your pod looks like.
Yeah, they're not gonna do that.
You know what? Don't be a hater.
I'm not being a hater. I'm saying they're just you're asking too much from these people. They're not gonna do that. They're gonna make this as simple as possible.
It's a cool idea. That's why they don't want to do it.
That's possible. They're not cool. The SEC is definitely not cool. Last thing, and we'll wrap up here. The MLB is in a lockout. Andrew, are you at all surprised at what's happened here? Do you think it's getting better anytime soon?
No, because we are, and I mentioned this to somebody this week, the lockout is basically just been delayed a day, or it was basically delayed a year, because this really should have happened in a normal
cycle. Yeah, they were worried about losing money during the COVID time.
Yeah, the pandemic occurring in spring training saved us a year from this. You just delayed the inevitable. It's still crap. Not happy about it.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think we can all agree, especially Bob, that the longer the Atlanta Braves remain world champions, the better for all of us.
Are you guys going to get Freddie Freeman back or no?
I don't know, man. I'm pretty dubious about it.
Is Freddie going to spite sign with the Yankees or something like that?
I don't think it would be a spite signing. I don't think he's going to be a Yankee. If he goes anywhere, he's going back to the West Coast. If he leaves,
where would he go? Because I've only seen the one option is the Braves. Like, where else would he go?
The Dodgers or the Angels. Maybe the Padres.
Don't go with the Padres. I'm sorry. I don't want to have the same cycle that I feel like we've gone through two or three cycles in the last 15 to 17 years where the Padres load up on a bunch of free agents just to finish third in the West. Like,
I'm not doing that, though. You know what? Shout out to them. They went for it. They tried. They got destroyed with injuries this year. But, hey, they were the favorites. Like,
wow.
No, but I mean,
brought out the Bart Simpson "you tried" cake.
No, right. No, but that's how Major League Baseball is now, Bob. Is like, we have to be very, very forthcoming about like how much we appreciate them trying. Like when you have the Pirates owner laying out his stuff this week, and you have the
Pirates and the Orioles are like a mid-level marketing scheme.
No, that's the Oklahoma City Thunder, who lost by 70 something points last night, and I feel vindicated.
Oh, you mean a shady team that was brought to a place under shady circumstances, kind of really doesn't know what to do without budding superstars?
Joke. I was so mad when I saw that. I was in the library, 12:30, and I saw it, and I was like, that can't be right. I thought it was a misprint. I was like, that's not right. That's not a thing. And then I go through it, and I was looking at the box, and I was like, just ban them. Like, this should be a fine. Like, fine. Sam Presti should not be allowed to be GM anymore.
My ability,
kick him out.
My theory on the whole tanking and the hinky thing is this. It's if teams want to purposely put a subpar product on the field, they should charge fans less money for tickets. That's it.
I think everything should cost less, though. Like, merch should cost less. Everything should cost less. Yeah.
Hot dogs are $1 now.
Yes.
A beer is a quarter to go to a Thunder game.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously, if you want to say, look, we're putting a developmental team on the court, you don't get to charge regular prices as if you're still selling a premium product.
You're selling a G League product.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what the difference is between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Oklahoma City Blue.
I think we all need to have a massive reckoning with the fact that the entire trust the process mantra was picked up by Democratic Socialists here on the East Coast. It was a very weird alliance for some truly.
Oh, look, it's Bob Soros, everybody.
Andrew Sharp has logged into the chat.
The Democratic Socialists of America,
right?
Various members got really behind the Sixers and what they were doing when they were, you know, rolling various.
Michael Carter Williams and Rocco.
Like Henry
and
Sims and,
Henry Sims. Yes.
God.
Who else was
talking about remembering some guys?
Tony Roten.
I was going to say Tony Roten. That was who I was thinking of. He sticks out the most to me. Tony Roten, Memphis legend.
Memphis legend Tony Roten. and of course, big shot Bob Covington.
Right.
Who was he was deemed one of the great successes of the process. Yeah, it was a really weird alliance and the kind of cognitive dissonance required by supposed, you know, tankies to get behind that was just bizarre to me.
Yeah, wild, I agree. So. But Bob, in terms of the lockout, do you think this gets resolved soon? Do you think this is going to be one of the uglier ones that takes a long time? What do you think?
It's going to take a really, really long time.
Are we going to miss games?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too.
I do, too. I think it's not going to be a ton of games, but I think they are. What the owners are...
Get Manfred out of here. I've never... Like, at least Goodell seems like he likes the NFL, and Adam Silver...
Manfred hates the sport.
I really do think he hates it.
Goodell, I don't think he likes the NFL. I think he likes being paid $44 million or whatever his salary is. I don't know if I don't know if Goodell actually likes anything except like maybe a nice cardigan.
Well, he likes a nice furnished basement. We saw that.
Yeah, we saw the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Rob canceled baseball. His dream has come true. He's a happy man right now.
Well, that statement was so weird.
The owners are.
I didn't even read it.
It's not good. Don't read it, Andrew.
Oh, no. I you know when you see somebody post something, you're like, I'm not reading that crap. Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
The smartest thing that the owners did is they realized that they can still pay Max Scherzer, you know, $43 million a year. Let's go, Mets. or an exorbitant contract to whomever. And where they're going to make up their money is by squeezing baseball's entire middle class. And that's what the players should be fighting for. Because it's not, you know, people, they'll use it as leverage to say, look, well, if you can afford to pay a 37-year-old pitcher something close to $130 million, you know, clearly the players have nothing to complain about. And what they don't know about, like, minor leaguers who are living on ramen noodles every single goddamn day.
And the veterans who are still useful that are just left to cast aside because you can pay.
No one is going to sign a half-decent fourth starter who has 10 years of service time if they can plug and play, you know, a AAA plus kid for a few innings. And the economics of the sport are designed to put a – right now the financial incentives of the basic sports structure make it so teams are economically encouraged to put a lesser product on the field.
Mm-hmm.
The economic imperatives make it such that it is considered good business sense to make something crappy. And now anyone who's paid attention to late period capitalism will not be surprised by this development, but it's hit baseball too. Like, you know, just the manipulation of service time for kids coming up. There was a leaked audio. I forget who wrote it up. There was a good report about how, you know, at one of the owners' meetings, they gave awards to the team that was able to best, I think, artificially suppress service.
Oh, that's right. I saw that.
Yeah. Like, they're congratulating themselves for, you know, wage manipulation.
It's galaxy brain stuff here, where we're like, I don't even know how you fix this, though, because there's so many of those types of sport.
I I've complained a little bit about Steve Cohen, the Mets owner, on this podcast. I don't know if you guys have noticed. but, you know, I like the fact that he's sort of a... The one part about Steve Cohen that I do like is that he's definitely one of the last breed, I think, of especially baseball owners who actually who's not, you know, just sort of like a shell company of McKinsey somehow.
Yeah.
Go
Braves.
You're right. Yeah. What Liberty Media owns?
They're in
the
Colorado.
Braves?
We never see them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody knows who the Braves owner is.
Oh, that's like...
Twitter question the other day. Someone asked, can you name the Rockies owner?
Dick Monfort.
Yes. The only reason I could do that is because I keep thinking it's Paul Manafort.
No.
yes.
Could he be worse? Who's to say?
It could. Yeah. But right. I mean, it's seriously just going to be a series of faceless corporations whose only goal is extracting ever increasing levels of profit and doesn't seem to really care whether they win or lose. Again, I'll go back to
because they're not the games. They're not there. They're just cashing the checks.
And the Orioles, all they have to do is artificially depress salaries as much as possible. And it doesn't matter how many people show up. It doesn't matter what their, you know, regional sports network contract is. Revenue sharing means they will still be able to make money. And, you know, baseball ownership and all sports ownership, it's a long-term game. Mm-hmm. These properties appreciate over time. It's why, you know, whatever – what's his name? Laurier can buy the Marlins for whatever he did in – I think it was 2002 that he bought them. And, you know, sell it for a ginormous return on his investment. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter even if he loses. That's why when teams say, oh, you know, a third of the league lost money or two thirds of the league lost money, it's like, yeah, in the last, you know, four financial quarters they did.
But if they sell it today, they're making all that money back
right,
and then some.
All of these guys are playing that long game and they know that when they cash out, they're going to make up that money tenfold or 20-fold or whatever, you know, or, you know, going back to Donald Sterling, who paid something like $202 million maybe for the Clippers in the early 80s.
The best example is Jerry Jones. He got it for a steal. Yeah. Jeff Perlman has a great book on this, but like how he bought the Cowboys, and they're the most valuable franchise in sports.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, Boys Will Be Boys?
Great yes.
Book. Right. When the owners open up their you know, quote unquote, open up their books and say, the league is just like saying, like, look, half of our teams are losing money every year. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes, technically that's true, but that doesn't matter But all of these people are operating on financial levels where, honestly, those losses are just dealt with as a tax write-off for the many many shell corporations and facets of their sprawling economic empire, such that those losses really – not only do they not matter in the moment this year when they can be used to write off, you know, income against income tax, they don't even matter because like 10 years down the line, they're going to make it all up anyway.
And it's also, why do you get into sports ownership anyway? Like, if you're in it to get a profit, and you're that, like, why get into it? Why?
I mean, that's why I say yay for Steve Cohen.
For the chicks.
He could pawn off a, that's a Jerry Jones thing. He could pawn off a Jock Committee or two, and he's like, yeah, he may be an idiot and a sleaze bag, but he does kind of want to win, so hooray for that. You know,
come on the pod and defend yourself, Steve Cohen. Get away from Twitter. Come on the pod.
Oh, I log off.
Doesn't he have his own podcast?
Does he? I don't know.
I thought somebody with the Mets front office had a podcast at one point.
I don't know. Maybe.
And we even missed out. God, did we talk about Keith Hernandez?
No.
Oh God, what did Keith do now?
We can't do this. We can't do the whole Keith Hernandez thing.
Well, all right, fine. Edit this out. We won't leave it in. We'll talk about it later. Keith Hernandez.
We can leave it in. We just can't go down a rabbit hole here.
Very quickly, Keith Hernandez decided to tweet out his promotion of a book by notorious anti-vax crank Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. We talked about that last week. Okay, never mind. Yeah, we talked about that
last week
before.
All right. Time is lost. Time is a – look. Everyone knows this, that time is an artificial construct, so when we talked about it, doesn't really matter. So in any case, my rant about baseball is the owners are absolutely going to grind this one out. And they shouldn't, but they will. And will the MLBPA cave? I don't know. I mean, they've been telling – I mean, to your point earlier, they've been telling – according to reports, they have been telling players, you know what? If you want to save up for a rainy day, it's going to get rainy. And they started doing that before the COVID season. So they have been sort of – they've been saying, like, listen, if you don't get to a place where you can't miss a paycheck or two.
That's why Castellanos was like, I'll take a 12-year contract today. I don't care if it's in Seattle or Oakland. Yeah, no, give me the 12-year contract. Yeah.
All I'll say is dig in your freaking heels, guys.
I know. Labor solidarity is really hard.
I mean,
only person who screwed it up was Trevor Bauer somehow.
Which is ironic. did you see the tweet he had today? He was like, "Oh man, we're all unlocked, right?" And it's like, dude, you haven't tweeted in 6 months. Nobody cares about you, dude.
Also, are we sure anyone's going to sign Trevor Bauer next year?
Oh hell no!
He's got a contract with the Dodgers. It would have to be voided somehow.
Okay.
Under like a morals clause by Major League Baseball. I don't even think they can void his entire contract.
Yeah.
Can we void his Twitter account?
Somebody explained it in a way that was basically like, yeah, if the Dodgers tried to get rid of Trevor Bauer, he is going to like Players Association the hell out of it. And it's going to.
Players Association, look, I'm not defending Trevor Bauer, but. yeah, the Players Association should. The Dodgers, I'm sorry. You signed a creepazoid. You knew he was a creepazoid.
And you kind of knew he was, yeah.
Yeah, not to go to the parable of the old woman and the snake, but you knew who he was.
Pay the man his money. With Bob.
Yeah. Yeah.
That could be a good whole ASMR Christmas novel. Maybe that's what I should get for my parents. Bob telling parables in the pod. I just record them and send it as an audio tape. That'd be great. Guys, we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there.
Let's leave it there.
Bob, what can we check out from you at the Daily Beast this week?
Because we didn't get to pod last week, because I think you were celebrating some holiday. I forget which one.
I think it was Thanksgiving. Like I think it was in another city, an area. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. I think if you'd really, decided to podcast like a champion, the Notre Dame way,
right,
that you
right.
could round your way through it.
Okay.
But leaving that aside. There's an article of mine There's an article of mine about a couple of dinguses again on the internet. I wrote about basically that if you looked anywhere on social media there, and talking about the tragedy in Waukesha where, you know, six people got killed and 60 people got injured by an individual who allegedly ran over a Christmas parade with his car. They're a huge chunk of the far right now, all the way up to Tucker Carlson, believes that Black Lives Matter made him do it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to tell you these things.
Oh, no, no, no. It's just good Lord.
I'm sorry. In any case, so I wrote about where that idea came from and how it spread on the interwebs. So, because that's evidently the kind of thing I do now as a sports reporter.
It's Bob's beat.
Yeah.
Andrew, what can we check out from you and the good folks at the Detroit Free Press?
It has been, I hate to be heavy, guys, but it has been a heavy week up here. The Oxford High School shooting, just thoughts and prayers to those kids and those families. With school shootings, I like to detach myself from it because when you watch it and you see the stories about these young people losing their lives, it's just it screws with you so bad because you're like, these kids should be, you know, worrying about holiday parties and homework, but they aren't. And, you know, some of these other kids, their friends, instead of getting together for holiday parties and planning, you know, stuff for the second half of the semester in their junior, senior years, they're planning funerals. And it's tragic and it sucks and it hurts. And I was watching, I watched a clip, I want to say it was maybe yesterday, of a student who was talking to CNN. And he's with his family and he's talking about one of his friends. And then the news came in that that one of the students that was shot ended up passing away. And they broke the news to him right then and there. And he just broke down and started crying. And I'm just like, I hate getting political on this, but it's just, thoughts and prayers don't do it anymore. Like, it feels so numb, and this week has felt so numb, and I hate that because this should be talked about. This should be something that it should be a national discussion on. I get it, but it's very, seeing everything that's happened this week and seeing, you know, the aftermath of it, it's depressing as hell, man. Like, it sucks. And having it so close doesn't help. You know, I mean, these are people less than, you know, 50 miles away, like less than an hour away. I mean, it doesn't, but that doesn't matter. It's just, I'm looking at the TV right now. They are having like a, basically like kind of like a vigil in Oxford right now. It's tough, man. It's tough because these kids should still be alive. And the parents, I'm glad that the law enforcement understand to charge the parents, because I don't know if you guys had read the New York Times story today on basically kind of like the timeline of events and what we've kind of learned from investigations and looking into the parents more. Yeah, the fallout of this is going to be quite ugly, and there's a lot of people that are going to be going down.
Mm. Yeah, it's something to monitor and to keep up with, and it's just hard. And like you said, Andrew, I think you laid all that out perfectly. So, thoughts and prayers with them.
Bob,
it's not enough.
Bob, yeah. Say something wild so we can end this on a high note.
Mm.
You know what, I'll ask you, Bob. Are you going to see Willem Dafoe in the newest Spider-Man movie?
Yeah. Look, Willem's back, man. My man, Willem.
Oh. I needed that laugh.
At some point off the pod, I will tell you the most disturbing Willem Dafoe story I know.
Oh, no. Wait, there's more? You have a disturbing Willem Dafoe story?
We're not talking about the Willem Dafoe, like, dot images folder that I keep on my desktop. That's
Bob, I honestly hope...
Goodbye, guys. That's it for this episode of the Sports Reporters Assembling.
I truly hope that nobody decides to, like, hijack your computer, because they're going to be looking stuff and they're like, what the hell is this?
My OPSEC is locked down tight. You guys don't have to worry about that.
Okay, good.
There you go. All right. Well, Bob Silverman... Andrew Hammond, thank you guys, as always. Great being back with you this week. And I will talk to you both next week on a break. It's great. No school. Loving it. Gonna love it. All right. Bye, guys.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.